7, Matthew chapter 11, and we're going to read and stand and read verses 1 through 6. Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. We will read it responsively. Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 6, and we will read it responsively. I'll read, then you read, and then we will read verse 6 together. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prisons the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again the old things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the deaf are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And preached is he is be offended in me. Okay, I gotta behind myself there, but let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, sure to love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your precious, perfect word of God. Now, Lord, I ask you now just to fall upon your servant. Lord, give me clarity of mind. You know it's been a busy, busy period around here, and Lord, I'm asking you for strength today. I'm asking you for guidance and your anointing upon me this morning. Anoint hearts. And again, may we leave closer to you than when we came. We ask you to bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'll probably be using this shortly, not right yet, I think. Perhaps. This passage deals with probably the lowest moment of John the Baptist's life. You find him here in Herod's prison. As a matter of fact, after being in prison about 16 months, he was beheaded. But right now, at this moment, he sits in prison. Some doubt has started in his mind. The devil just works his mind a little bit, if you will, and he starts doubting concerning the person of Jesus Christ. He asks a question, as we see in verse number 3, and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? You know, John the Baptist, of course, he had the ministry. He was a great preacher. He went out into the wilderness. I mean, he was an unusual man, you know, in his leather girdle and different things. He ate locusts and honey. I mean, very unusual man, but God used him greatly. He was the man that baptized Jesus. And now here he is for doing the work of God. He's sitting in prison, and no doubt, obviously, I think because of this question, or by the wording of this particular verse in number 3, no doubt he starts doubting. I think I probably would too, to be honest with you. If we were all honest, and you've been sweating, and you've been working, and you don't understand why did this happen, why am I in prison, if you will, or why do I have this trial, or why do I have this heartache, and it sometimes seems like you make a few steps forward, and then you fall 3 or 4 steps back. And you do start wondering why. And if we were all honest tonight, or this morning, I should say, we have a tendency to ask God, why is this happening? God, I've served you. God, I mean, I'm giving my life to you. John, no doubt, same situation. He's a preacher. Now he's in prison. I don't think at that particular time he knew the danger he was in, because he's going to be beheaded. But the truth of the matter is, he's sitting in prison. He starts doubting, and he asks a question, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? My title this morning is That's Him. I'm talking about Jesus. That's Him. You know, and as I mentioned, I would probably start doubting too. Here's John. He served God. I'd be doubting if I was maybe in the same situation. I think I would wonder, why am I here? Why am I in this prison? Maybe some of you today, you serve God. You've been walking with God. And you wonder, why am I in this position right now? Why am I in this lack of finances? Why am I hurting inside? Why am I discouraged? Why do I have heartache today? And God wants, God, you want me to serve you, and I've served you. Why am I in this dungeon, perhaps he thought? Why am I being treated this way? I can well imagine the helplessness that John felt, the loneliness that he felt, the doubt that he felt. So we see here the question came to John's mind, whether or not Jesus is really the Messiah. May I remind you that, of course, John, he not always doubted. We knew that early in his ministry, he baptized Jesus. He was well acquainted with Jesus. John chapter 1, 29, and the truth of the matter is, let me just, verse number 1 of 29, but let me just stop and say this. You know, it's so easy that when we're on a smooth road in the Christian life, it's so easy to have faith. You know, when things are going pretty good and the bills are paid and your house is paid for or whatever the case may be, and your car is running, and when everything's going pretty good, it's so easy to have faith. But the truth of the matter is, when we're traveling down our road and all of a sudden it gets bumpy, when we travel down this road of the Christian life, all of a sudden some deep valley comes and so forth, that's when we start getting a little cloudy as to who God really is. Let me just say this, I've been there. And again, probably you could say, I've been there too, preacher, if we wanted to be honest. But you know, John hadn't always doubted, just like you hadn't always doubted. Let me just say this, church member, if you are in a valley this morning, you just keep going forward. You know what, and maybe you've got to go ahead and go back just a couple miles back, if you will, or just a few months back, and realize how good God has been to you. And you know what, when you look back and see, boy, he's provided back there, you know what, he's providing a whole lot more than you think he is right now. You know, the very fact that you're breathing this morning, he's provided breath for you. The very fact that you've got clothes on your back, you know, he's provided for you. But sometimes it's so easy to look at the very minute things. So clothing and food and breath is not so minute, but it's so easy to go ahead and lose sight of God, and so easy to lose faith in God. You know what, maybe for so long we've had it pretty smooth, but when the heartache came, when the trials came, all of a sudden our vision got a little bit cloudy. All of a sudden we started wondering, you might be sitting in the prison of your life and saying, God, I've served you. God, I read my Bible every day. God, I teach a Sunday school class. God, I go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night. Why is this happening to me? Hey, you know what? Hey, let me just remind you as well, you hadn't always doubted either. If you're saved this morning, you know what? You place your faith in Jesus Christ, and at that time you realize how real Jesus was, and at that time you realize how good God was. And let me tell you something. The very same God that's good on the mountaintops, he's just as good to you in the valley. But may I remind you that John hadn't always doubted. Or, you know, he baptized Jesus. He had a great ministry working for Jesus, serving Jesus. John 1:29, he says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That tells me, you know, he knew. He didn't doubt Jesus all the time. He knew he was the Lamb of God. He knew that he was a perfect Son of God. But now there's this little question in his mind. Let me tell you something. The devil wants to do everything he can to have you doubt God. He wants to do everything he can to have you lose your faith in God. He may go ahead and throw things in your way and so forth, and he may go ahead and throw battles in your way. But let me tell you something. He'll do everything he can to try to cause you to doubt God. God, it's not worth it. You know, God, I've gone ahead and I've served you, and I've lived with you. But you know what? It seems like I'm having a bad hand dealt to me now. You know what, God, it's not worth it. I think maybe that's how John was feeling. Just by his question, I happen to think, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Let me just say this. We don't have to look for another this morning. We don't have to look for somebody else this morning. Let me tell you something. Jesus is still King of Kings. God is still on the throne this morning. And you know what? The truth of the matter is, yes, I'm not belittling your little heartache this morning, but let me tell you something. Jesus is still in control, and you just need to each and every day continue to allow him to have control. But perhaps I think John doubted here. Are you the one? Are we to be looking for somebody else, someone else? And Jesus responds. Of course, John sends his disciples. And John hears about the healing and all the works that Jesus is doing, if you will. And John sends his disciples with that question, if you will. Art thou he, or do we look for another? And John's disciples tells him, John goes down to Jesus. His disciples, if you will, goes down to Jesus. And they find Jesus is healing the sick, raising the dead, preaching the gospel. And he's doing what God the Father sent him to do. In other words, Jesus was saying, hey, you know what, guys? I think maybe he was kind of saying, hey, disciples, you go back to John and say, you know what, I'm him. You know, John is down. Yes, he's in there in prison. But let me tell you, you go down and you tell John that I'm him. I'm still doing what God wanted me to do. And let me just stop and say this. If you're in your dungeon, hey, John the Baptist, if I could speak to him, if you're in your dungeon, you keep on serving God. You keep on reading Scripture. You keep on quoting Scripture. Maybe you can't go out there and preach like you used to, John the Baptist. Maybe you're kind of locked in four cell walls, but you keep on placing your faith in Christ. You keep on trusting God. You keep on keeping on. Don't you doubt God, but he just needed a little bit of hope. and he sent his disciples. And Jesus responds, "Hey, John, I'm doing what my Father sent me to do. I'm him. I'm him." This morning, I'd like to take us on a little journey. This morning, just to simply remind us and show us that he is who he says he is. That's him, is the title. On our journey first this morning, number one, we see that is him in creation. You go back to the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I know a very familiar passage of scripture, but Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let me just stop and say, that's good enough for me. In the beginning, God, always has been, always will be, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's good enough. God said it. That settles it. The beauty that we see all around us did not just happen, by the way. It just didn't go ahead and some little whatever, atom blow up and things started forming. Let me tell you something. It was created by somebody, and it was created by God Almighty. Why? Because, you know what, that very simple verse, the very first verse of the King James Bible, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It takes more faith to believe that we came from monkeys than it does to believe that we came from God. Let me tell you something. We're made in the likeness in his image. God's not any monkey. Amen. We are made in the beginning, God. Hey, that's him in creation. I want to remind you, if you're doubting God, are you there, God? Why are these things happening, God? Maybe you're asking the question, art thou he or do we look for another? Maybe you're there this morning, but let me tell you, it's him in creation. Be reminded that he made this light, the sun, the moon, the stars. He made the darkness. That's him. Hey, that's him. He made the birds and the fish. He made the cattle. He made the horses. He made the pretty blue sky. What I'm trying to say, that is him. He made the beautiful clouds. He made the rain and the snow, and he breathed life into you. Hey, what I'm trying to say, that is God. That is him this morning. What I'm saying, that is him, and it's only him that can do this. It didn't just happen. Hey, evolutionist. Hey, doubter of the true and living God, it's him. It's him that created all that we see. In the beginning, God. You know it's him by the power of his creation. Colossians chapter 1:16, the Bible says, "For by him," I'll say it again, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Verse 17, "And he is before all things, and by him all things were made." I don't know what part of that scripture you can't understand. Amen. It's by him. He created the earth. He created all that we have around us. Hey, you know, maybe you're doubting this morning. Maybe somebody's banging your ear. You know, it just happened. We came from a monkey. No, we didn't come from a monkey. We came from God. It is him this morning. You know, it's him by his power. The scripture tells us he is before any human authority, any president, any ruler, any dominion. Hey, President Bush, it's him this morning. Hey, Barack Obama, it's him this morning. Hey, John McCain, it's him this morning. Hey, Hillary, it's him this morning. It's not about you guys. Yes, God has placed human authority to go ahead and rule, but the truth of the matter is, it's not about the presidents. It's not about the rulers. It's not about the president of Iran this morning. Hey, it's all about Christ. Why? Because he is before all. He's above all. He's above everyone. Hey, what I'm trying to say this morning, John, and what I'm trying to say this morning, disheartened one. I'm trying to say this morning, discouraged one. What I'm trying to say this morning, faithless one, is him. It's him in creation. As we continue our travel this morning, on our little journey, if you will, you'll find that it is him in the cradle. You know, let's go back to that very familiar story in Bethlehem. Luke, you can turn to it if you like, but Luke chapter 2, 1 through 10, because of time, I'm going to just go ahead and go right through with it. But we know the story of Jesus coming into Bethlehem, a very familiar story. You'll find Mary and Joseph, Mary being with child, a very special child, I might add. I could see them coming into Bethlehem on a donkey. You can see it would not be a very long before Mary would have the baby Christ child. They would try and find a nice warm place for the baby. And I can just see, what a tragic story when you think about it. I don't know if this all happened quite this way, but they came to an end. I don't know how many ends Bethlehem had. Maybe they had a few, but you know what? Everybody seemed to turn them away. They came to Bethlehem. They'd gone perhaps from end to end, if you will, trying to find a warm room for Mary. But you will find that there was no room for a king. You know, I'm not going to park here. I got another sermon for later for that, but you know that is so sad. There was no room for baby Jesus. Look at it today. Look at our world today. You know, and I preached it a few weeks ago, but the very fact that we push Jesus literally out of every area of our life. Boy, that ought to concern us. That ought to bother us. And I don't care, you know, I don't care what the critics say. I don't care what, you know what, we're just going to keep on doing what the Bible says. People say, well, you know what, preacher, soul winning just doesn't work. And you know what, it worked for me just a week or so ago when I led a young, a man to Christ right at his door. And let me tell you something, soul winning still works. And let me tell you something, until the very day that we're raptured to heaven, we are all commanded to go ahead and witness. We're all commanded to go ahead and tell people about Jesus. We're all commanded to go ahead and do that. And let me tell you, don't tell me that soul winning doesn't work. Don't tell me that confrontation, yeah, it is confrontational, but you know what? There was nothing better when I went to Steve a couple weeks ago and I saw him from the bottom of my face, a big old burly guy bigger than me. He squashed me like a bug, I tell you what. But let me tell you something, at his doorstep, you can see the tears. As I went ahead and went through the plan of salvation, you could, you know, he was blubbering and the Holy Spirit was working on his heart. You could go ahead and see the tears and he just wept and he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And let me tell you something, you know, it's too bad that the world, they want to push Jesus out. You know what? The world can have their thrills today. They can be out on the water today, and that's fine if they do that. I'm not against going out on the water. I like the water, but let me tell you something. I'm not going to go ahead and replace church with what I want to do or what the world wants to do. I'm not going to replace church with what God wants me to do on Sunday morning. Hey, what I'm trying to say, hey, you know what? It's Him. It's all about Him. It's not about us this morning. It's all about Jesus Christ. We're going to continue to lift the name of Jesus here at Faith Baptist Church, and it's all about Jesus, and it's time that we got back to realizing who Jesus really is and how good He is. But you know what? The very fact that there was no room in Bethlehem for a little baby, for a little, for the king, if you will, it amazes me that the innkeeper would not find a place. It's amazing. He wouldn't give up his spot. You know, common sense to me just says to go ahead. You know, we got a pregnant mom, man. Expected mom. The innkeeper could have at least gone ahead and gave up his bit. You know, but they wouldn't even go ahead and he wouldn't even do that. And of course, we know the story how he was born in a little stable. All that was available was a stable, a place where animals live. You know, I know a little bit about stables. I grew up on a farm. When my dad told me to go clean the stable, go clean the barn, it wasn't the most prettiest smelling place in the world. So you know what? A humble couple who, John, sit John up. It's okay. He may get upset, but John, it's not bedtime. Hey, John, sit up. It's all right. Look right up here. Okay, John, we're in church. Okay? I've worked hard for this message. I love you. I appreciate you. I'm glad you're here. Well, let's sit right up. Hey, sit right up. You know, you do better. Yeah, there you go. I don't mean to do that, but the truth of the matter is it's church time. Okay? All right. Where was I? Anyways, the innkeeper wouldn't even give up his own bed for a pregnant mom. There was no room. The availability of a stable was all there was. I know a little bit about them stables. It was stinky, a place where animals live. It wasn't very, well fragranced, if you will, how sad it was. I can imagine the innkeeper reading in the headlines. I can just imagine maybe in the headlines the next day in Bethlehem Times, you know, it's him. Hey, it's him. Hey, it's the King of Kings. Hey, a king is born in a stable. You know, I can imagine that innkeeper thinking, oh, man, what did I do? Let me tell you something. You want to go ahead and you push God away. You want to go ahead and you push him out of your home. You push him out of public square. Let me tell you something. There will be a day of regret. There will be a day of regret. We want to go ahead and push them away and say, hey, God, I don't need you. I know Christians, so-called Christians, I don't know how they can do it, but they claim they're saved. But somewhere along the way, they start backsliding. And they don't want anything to do with God, and they lose their excitement or whatever. I don't know how they go ahead and do it, but let me tell you something. You want to push God away, and you want to deny God. Let me tell you something. There will be a day of regret. Let me tell you something, the world, they can have all the thrills and have all the pleasures and everything they want today, but let me tell you something, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Why? Because it's Him. Because it's Him. Today's the same way. We want the money. We have the personal pleasure. We want our will. We want to do what we want to do. And all the while, we push Jesus away. Hey, let me just say this. Let's give him first place again. Let's give him first place again. You know, I believe it's always been said of Faith Baptist Church that Jesus has always been number one here. It's not the preacher. It's not the Sunday school teacher or the bus captain. Of course, we have all these leaders. That's what God's plan is. But you know what? What about your life this morning? Is it really him in your life? Maybe you're here this morning. You're not saved. You know, the truth of the matter is he's not dwelling in you. Why don't you this morning decide it's all about him? If you're unsaved this morning, why don't you this morning decide, you know, I'm not going to push God away anymore. I'm going to get saved, and I'm going to know for sure that before I leave, I have eternal life in heaven. Hey, it's all about him, unsaved one. Hey, but saved one, you get a little bit indifferent towards God. Hey, saved one, you're just kind of wavering a little bit. You're maybe at a point of decision. I don't know whether I want to do this church thing anymore. I want to do this. Hey, what I'm trying to say, let's get back to serving him. Let's get back to making him first place. Get him first place in your family again. Get him first place in your life again. Get him first place on the job. Get him first place in everything that you do. Hey, what I'm trying to say this morning is all about him. God's plan has prevailed. No more animal sacrifices to be made, as in the Old Testament. Jesus was born of a virgin. He was clean. He is the clean and spotless lamb that went to a cross to pay for our sins. Amen and amen. Oh, what I'm saying, oh sinner, this morning, it's him. It was him that created. It was him that went ahead and he was born in a cradle in Bethlehem. It's him this morning on our journey as we continue to go. It's him in control. It's him. He's in control of any disaster that might fall upon you. We find he controls all of our difficulty. And John verse 6, verses 1 through 14, because I'm not going to turn to it, but jot these verses down, testing 1-2. I'm going to turn this on a little bit. You'll find that in John chapter 6, you'll find the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus found that great multitudes, we know the story, great multitudes had been following him. They got hungry, and Philip says, hey, what are we going to feed these guys? How are we going to feed these the 5,000? And a lad is there, and Jesus miraculously fed these 5,000 with 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. Hey, you know, it's only him that can do that, by the way. I couldn't do it. It's only him that can do that. They were in a difficult situation. Let me tell you something. God is in control. That control of that situation of 5,000, they're hungry. They're in hunger and so forth. Philip says, what are we going to do? Hey, you know, God is in control. Hey, it's him this morning that's in control. Hey, you might be down in the valley. Hey, you know what? You may be down in the valley. Let me tell you something. He's still with you in the valley. He's right there with you. You may be on the mountaintop and not even in the valley right now, but let me tell you something, each and every day, you got to realize it is him. He is in control this morning. He's in control of your difficulty. He's in control of any disaster in your life. I'm reminded of Daniel chapter 3, three Hebrew boys that would not bow. They said, you know, I'm not going to bow to your graven image. I'm going to go ahead and take a stand for God. Oh, how we need people to take a stand for God again. How we need people to go ahead and lift up Christ, because it's all about him. But the truth of the matter is, this is what these three boys did. They realized it was all about him. They said, King, we're not going to go ahead and bow to a graven image. And they asked, why won't you bow? You know, in verse number 16 of Daniel chapter 3, we're not careful to answer you on this matter. You know, they didn't have to go ahead and pick and choose their words from King when they said, why won't you bow? No, we're not careful. You know, because we're going to go ahead. We're going to only bow to the Son of the living God. We're going to only bow to the King of Kings. We're not going to bow to some graven image. And the three Hebrew boys, of course, we know the result. They were placed in a difficult situation. They were ultimately thrown into the fiery furnace. And you know what? Three were in there. You know what? But Nebuchadnezzar looked in and said, hey, you know what? There's 4 in there, the Holy Spirit. Hey, you know what? Hey, God is in control this morning. It's him. It's him that was in that furnace. You know, you may be going through the fiery furnace. You may be in the prison of your life this morning. But let me tell you something. It's him that's sticking closer than a brother. It's him that's right by your side this morning. It's him. You may be destitute. You may be in a difficult situation. You may have some heartache this morning. You may have some discouraging situations this morning. But let me tell you something. It's him that's with you. He'll stick by you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. The Bible says, hey, what I'm saying this morning. It's him that controlled disease. It's him that was healing the blind. It's him that was healing the lame. It's him that was healing the crippled. It's him that was healing cancer. It's him that's healing all manner of sickness. It's him that healed my wife. Amen. Hey, what I'm trying to say, it's him. Let me tell you, God's heart for me to come to a point this morning. That's all about him. He said, I see you when it's time. I see you when it's time. Let's get back to understanding that it's him. Okay, there's no disease that has the power to stand in the way of his power. You know, he controls death. I'm reminded in Luke chapter 8, he raised Jairus' daughter. I'm also reminded in Luke chapter 7, how he raised the widow's son. Hey, in John chapter 11, you find the raising of Lazarus. I'm saying he holds the power of death in his hands. John 11, 25 and 26, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Let me ask you a question. Do you have eternal life? Are you saved this morning? Oh, my friend, don't you leave here without knowing for sure you're on your way to heaven. You know, God has given you the gift of eternal life, and he wants you to know. Maybe you're there, and you feel that funny feeling in your heart right now. It might be because he's not there. It's not him in your life. Maybe you've been pushing him away. Hey, wait, it's time to go ahead and invite him into your life. But maybe you're here this morning, Christian. You know, you're kind of on that verge of just kind of pushing him away. Hey, let me say stop. Stop here. Realize what you're going to do by pushing him away. You lose his blessing. Hey, don't go ahead and push him out. Christian, get him back to me this morning. Bring him back. Bring him back. Hey, you know what? He controls death. The Bible says that you will never die. You will never die. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Hey, as a child of God, I shall never die this morning. Why? Because I have trusted. You know, yeah, my old body will pass away one day if Jesus doesn't come in the rapture. But the truth of the matter is, I trusted Jesus as my personal Savior. And this morning, if I die, you know what? I know where I'll be in just a moment. I'll be up in heaven. I thank God. You know what? It's all about him. Hey, as we travel, we've seen him in creation. We've seen him in control. We've seen him in the cradle, but you know what? We also see him on the cross. The very main reason he was here, that's him on the cross suffering. Picture in your mind the suffering for your sins in mind. Hey, friend, have you been to the cross where he suffered and died for you? Hey, you know that the song, the old hymn, there's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Why? Because it's him on that cross. On that cross, Isaiah mentions, you couldn't even tell that he looked like a man. The Bible says you couldn't even tell it because of his mutilated body after the soldiers were done with him. You couldn't even tell him it was Jesus. That's him getting the beating of the cat of nine tails. That's him getting the beard fucked out. That's him getting spat upon. That's him getting mocked at. That's him being tried wrongly. That's him on the cross crying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And that's him out of his last breath on earth saying, it is finished. God's plan has been done. Oh, sinner, have you been to the cross? You can only get to heaven only through the cross. Let me tell you something. If you're trusting in baptism, you will split. If you're trusting in baptism to get you to heaven, you will split hell wide open. If you're trusting in your good works this morning, you will split hell wide open. That cannot save you. If you're trusting in sacraments, if you're trusting in the Pope, if you're trusting in the priest, if you're trusting in the rabbi, if you're trusting even in the Baptist preacher, that cannot save you. Hey, you will go ahead and split hell wide open. What I'm trying to say, Jesus can only save. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Notice the word, the way, the truth, and the life. No man. You know what? Had he say, I am a way, or a truth, that would open it up for many different ways to get to where God is. But notice it specifically, because I'm a way, the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. Hey, you can only get to heaven. You can only get to where God is only through the cross of Jesus Christ and his shed blood. Hey, that's him on the cross for you. And then finally, that's him wearing the crown. Oh, I love this. You know, he didn't stay on the cross. Amen. And he was taken down after he cried out, it is finished. They went ahead and took him down off that cross. They placed him in a tomb. They sealed that tomb. But guess what? 3 days later, up! From the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain. Hey, you know what? We don't serve a dead Jesus this morning. He's still not on the cross. He arose. He arose. He arose this morning. He's wearing a crown. He's not on the cross anymore. He's not in the cradle anymore. Yeah, he's still in the room. The truth of matter is, he's not dead this morning. We serve a living Savior. Hey, he's wearing a crown this morning. He's not buried anymore. He rose from the dead. Hey, are you ready? Are you ready? One of these days, Jesus, God is going to go ahead and tell Jesus, hey, son, go get our children. Are you a child of God this morning? Do you know for sure? I've said it time and time again this morning, but do you know 100% sure? If you're going to die today and go to heaven. Don't leave the Faith Baptist Church without knowing it. You don't have to. You might sit there this morning. You know. You know in your heart you're not saved. You know that if you're going to die today, you don't know for sure you'd go to heaven. I plead with you after just a few minutes when the invitation is paid. If you're a lady, you walk down that aisle and we'll have a lady sit down and show you from the precious word of God how you can have eternal life. And if you're a man this morning, you don't know for sure you're saved, we'll have a man sit down with you and show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Don't leave church this morning. Davis, morning. Just as a reminder, it's him. It's him in creation. It's him in the cradle. It's him in control. Whatever you're going through this morning, it's him. It's him on that cross. And it's him wearing the crown. That's him. I don't even know what else to say. He's everything he's ever claimed to be. He's everything the saved and unsaved will ever need. That's him. If you're not saved, let me point him to the cross this morning. It's him. If you are saved but need God's help today, maybe you've got a heartache or a trial, let me just say this. I'm going to point him to you because it's him. Maybe you've got some struggle that you're going through, and I'm going to go ahead and point him to you because it's him. Whatever you need, wherever you go, wherever you walk in life, all you need to know is it's him. You need a Savior this morning? That's him. You need a friend this morning? That's him. You need forgiveness this morning? That's him. You need help this morning? That's him. If you want to miss hell and go to heaven this morning, that's him. Oh, we don't always like to hear the word hell. But it's biblical. I have to preach it. The truth of the matter is, if you're trusting in your own way, if you're trusting in your own works, you know, hell will be your eternal destiny. And the only time, listen to me, my friend, I'm being very, very loving this morning. I love you and I appreciate you being here if you're lost this morning. The only time that you can ever go ahead and accept the gift of salvation is while we're on this side of heaven and grieving. You've got to understand you're a sinner. You've got to understand there's a price on sin. You've got to Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. You've got to understand that Jesus paid that price. When God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And all you have to do is open your heart and make a heart decision. Say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Come into my heart, save me, forgive me of my sin. Because he says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall come in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hey, one that's been saved for a long time, are you wavering? You wondering? Preacher, I've been through battle after battle after battle. I just feel like there's no hope. Hey, there's hope in Jesus. Preacher, you just don't understand. There's hope in Jesus. You know what? And you can come to me and I'll pray with you, but you know what? You know who I'm going to point you to? Him. He's the one that will give you strength. You don't understand, there's more month than money. You know, I'm still going to point you to Jesus. You don't understand, I lost a loved one and it just wasn't fair. I'm still going to point you to Jesus. Hey, whatever you're going through, Christian, this morning, it's him. You're on that verge of pushing him away. You're on that verge of just pushing him out. Don't do it. Don't do it for your sake. Don't do it for your family's sake. Don't do it for your family's sake. You keep Jesus a focal point in your home. You keep him number one in your life. You know what? It will be worth it. Hey, John. John the Baptist are in prison. He started out. You got two disciples together, and you ask, you've heard about the works that Jesus was doing, was healing the lepers and healing the sick and causing the blind to see. And you told the disciples, go to Jesus and ask him, art thou he, or do we look for another? What do you say, my friend? You don't need to look for another. And Jesus tells the disciples to go back. And not so many words, he says, I'm him. I'm him. Hey, John, you just keep on going. You just keep on keeping. I'm him. Hey, Christian, this morning, you just keep on going. I'm him. Hey, unsaved one, this morning, you know, it's only him that can save you and give you eternal life. Where are you at this morning? Is he really the focal point of your life? Is he really the focal point in your life? Do you walk with him? Do you talk with him? Do you tell him that you love him? You say this, before I get up every morning, before I actually just get out of bed, I say, God, I love you. Because I want the very first thing I do, even if I don't get to my Bible right in the next second, I want God to start my day out. And I want to acknowledge God. Because the truth of the matter is, not because I'm perfect, because I'm not. You know that. But I want to acknowledge him. The one that gave me another day. To serve him. For the greatest joy of my life is to serve Jesus. It is. It's the greatest joy of my whole life. To serve God. And you know what, church people? I want it to be the greatest joy of your life. And if you're not saved this morning, I want him to be the biggest joy of your life. Don't leave without knowing Jesus. Don't leave this morning, Christian, if you're in doubt or you're having a hard time. Don't leave without just coming to him and saying, oh God, wrap your arms around me. It's been a tough time. Hey, it's him, our Heavenly Father. I'm sure to love you. And I know that we all have a tendency to doubt from time to time. And I'm sorry. Even this preacher, once in a while, I just wonder, God, are you there? But whenever I acknowledge you and I just get into your word, you show me how real you really are. John the Baptist, he, I believe, had a moment of doubt. But you soon changed his mind. And you relayed to him, I'm him, John. There's no doubt there's some heartache here this morning. Maybe some tough times here this morning in the life of somebody, some family, someone. Maybe they're just on that doubt, that point of doubting and wavering. Oh, prove yourself to them, God, now. May they go ahead and come forward, or may they come feel your loving arms around them. Maybe there's someone here that does not know you as their personal Savior. May they be pointed to you this morning as the only means of salvation. It's only through Christ. It's not through a church. It's not through good works. It's not through a sacrament. It's not through a preacher. It's only through Jesus Christ. I pray that they'll not leave here lost and empty. That they'll leave knowing for sure that they have eternal life. Heads bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. I don't know where you are this morning, saved one. Maybe you just need to do some business with God this morning. Maybe you're here and you're not saved this morning. I plead with you, if you're a lady, you walk down that aisle. Don't wait for somebody. Or don't let the devil go ahead and keep you in your seat. If you know for sure you're not saved, why don't you have the joy of being saved this morning, knowing for sure you have eternal life. If you're a lady, you walk down that aisle, we'll have a lady sit down and show you from the Bible how you can be saved. If you're a man that needs Jesus, and you just acknowledge to me, hey, preacher, I need to be saved, and we'll have somebody sit down with you and show you from the Word of God how to be saved. The music's going to play. As the music plays, why don't you move? You do business. Whatever it needs to be done, you do it. The music's going to play now.